You know, this is a great privilege that you have to speak the Word of God to God's people. In Isaiah 52, there with me, please. We're going to look at several scriptures today. I'm going to take a long time, but hopefully we'll have a great transfer of spirit and of information into your spirits. In Isaiah 52, and you get to the 7th verse, the Bible says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." We are the privileged people that God says our feet are beautiful. Now, my feet have never looked beautiful to me, but they've looked good to God. They look beautiful because they carry me to places to preach and to teach, victories that the Bible talks about, overcoming, salvation, restitution, joy, all of those things that we're privileged to teach. And I'm going to take a few minutes today, and I just wanted to run down a list of the wonderful things that are described that we have the privilege of telling the people about. Now, if you'll move to in 1 Kings 18, we come to Elijah, and a drought is broken. And in this portion of Scripture, we begin with about the 41st verse. We know there's been a great contest with the priests of Baal, have been in the process of cutting themselves and trying to bring down the power of their God. You're familiar with the story. But we find that when the man of God is there, it says in that 41st verse, "And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat, drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain, as the prophets of Baal could not break the drought." And they were all, if you remember, lost their lives. But what a glorious message we have to preach, that when those that preach other gods, that our God is victorious and our God is able to move above and beyond anything that can be brought up by the opposition, even though the best of a denomination be brought against you. And you say, "Well, what can I say? They're doctors and they're double doctorates and lawyers and theologians." But God says in that moment he'll give you a word. And many times, just a person like yourself can just stop and block the atheists that speak and the ones that come forth. The story goes, and quickly I'll bring it to you, about Payne, a man named, his last name was Payne. In America, he came and he was bringing debate with all of the pastors. He'd have a big hall rented and have a bunch of the pastors in a group, and then he would debate those pastors. And he was very intelligent, and it just seemed like he had put the pastors to shame. And a little girl just leaned over the banister, could barely see out of the balcony, and she said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the..." And it ended up in a revival broke out above all of that foolishness of the teaching of the atheists and those that are anti-God that you'll face. There's this powerful thing that takes place, that even in a drought, you can come as the man of God and you can break a drought. You can bring prosperity back to a city. Isn't that wonderful? And then look at Psalms 118. In Psalms 118, and we're going to move rapidly. Psalms 118, beautiful verse of Scripture here. And this you'll use so many times. The 24th verse, "This is the day which the Lord hath made." What? "We will rejoice and be glad in it." Do you use that in your ministry? "This is the day the Lord hath..." I've used it so many times in the ministry. And as one of those that goes out anointed and you come to a discouraging situation, you can move into that verse and you can teach, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Isn't that powerful? These benefits that we have, the abilities we have as the man of God or the woman of God. In Genesis 21, and it seems a little disconnected that I move so rapidly from verse to verse, but you'll see in a minute what I'm trying to show you. Genesis 21. And 21, you know, we've had this struggle throughout first part of the Bible up to this point. Sarah's been promised a child, and her womb is barren, and it just looks like absolutely nothing is going to happen. And they get into their 90s, old folks, and they now are a joke. God comes and changes the name. Says, now you're no longer going to be Sarai. The word Sarai means woman chief. It says you're going to be Sarah, the little princess. And you're not going to be Abram any longer, but you're going to be Abraham, the father of many nations. And when you talk to people, you can bring this thing, things like this to them. You have a book full of things you can bring to the people as you minister to them and show them that other people have faced the same kind of problems they've faced, and other people have had these wonderful things that God has brought. Are you familiar with that verse? This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice in it. That's a great comfort, that verse, isn't it? A comfort. But then let's look a little bit further, and I just touch some of the things that, looking back over my own life, the wonderful verses that I have. If you look in 2 Corinthians 8, and this is such a wonderful verse here, 2 Corinthians 8. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible, the 8th chapter, the first verse. Moreover, brethren, we want you to wit the grace of God bestowed upon the church in Macedonia. Now, let me read it to you in the Living Bible. Now I want to tell you what God in His grace has done for the church in Macedonia. Though they've been going through great trouble and hard times, they have mixed their wonderful joy with their deep poverty, and the result has been an overflow of giving to others. Now, if you can imagine that, as we teach seed time and harvest, here's a church that was in poverty, and through their giving, they came into abundance. And so we have that aspect when we're talking to people. We can talk to them about how God will bring them out of poverty, things like that. And then, too, you know, you have the ability to talk to people about the love of God, the love of God. Probably as you go through the rest of your life, many of you very young, you'll have thousands of messages you'll put together, thousands of times. And so many times you'll be talking about the love of God, the love of God. And I see that through the scriptures. And when you get to Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God is God, that the faithful God, which keepeth covenants and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, to 1,000 generations. And the love is just throughout the Bible, you see it again and again. Psalms 86, and I've just picked a few here that I share with you. Psalms 86, and when we get to that 86, and we're going to look at that 15th verse. But thou, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and plenteous in truth. Isn't that amazing that you have a book and it's about a God? It's not about that he wants you to be a martyr. It's not that he wants you to kill anybody, that he wants you to give up your physical life, but that he wants you to live, and he lives a long life and a strong life, and he loves us. It's not a God that's trying to destroy people. It's a God that loves. Aren't you grateful today that you didn't grow up in one of these religions that have these terrible deities that they serve, and you have to be out trying to scare people and trying to bring how terrible their God is? You can bring the story of a loving, loving God. Another one that comes to mind, and I'm going to pivot it with this verse here. I'm going to pivot. If you look at 1 Kings, and in that 17th chapter, we read about the 8th verse and the 10th verse. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this is Elijah, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, we come to find one source ran out. He's out by the river, you know, and the ravens come, but one day the ravens stopped coming. There's been times in my ministry it just looked like the ravens had stopped coming. But then God would say, hey, look this way. I have something prepared in this area. what was that word again? Providence. Providence. You know, providence is what God is causing to happen. And if you notice, if you will stay in providence, it's providence. He has providence. If you're in his providence, the word itself is a compound word. It's prosper, providence, providing for us. Are you picking this up, what I'm saying to you? But now, I want to change the tune just a little bit. What I'm trying to say to you, as we preach the gospel, you can go in any church and that you'll find they're trying to teach a good God. They're trying to teach a God that loves you, that wants to care for you, a God that wants to be involved in your life, that wants to bring you into good things. So as you go out to preach and you go out to teach, there's all kind of messages that people have to bring. There's some people, like in the military, there's some that have to go and tell parents that their son has died. And there's some that have to call and say, work for the finance industry, that have to call and say, your house is being repossessed, or we're here to get your car. There's so many vocations where you are bearers of bad news. Bearers of bad news. But as a minister of the gospel, the love of God, the blessings of God, the peace of God, you wake up in the morning and you go out the door. You're not going out to repossess somebody's car. You're not going out to tell somebody that they're fired. Are you grasping what I'm saying? I mean, every morning, just almost every morning, you have the opportunity to go out with some good news and bring good news to people. Let me write that verse down. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? There are some people that are going to a job that, we're now on the 20th story. All the steel is now tied. I have to go look for a new job. Or you work in the sales industry in your nation, and about every 6 months, everybody has to get a new job, I think, if I remember correctly, because of the labor contracts. But in the morning, you're going to get up, and you're going to go out, and you'll be bringing good news, good news, good news. But watch something with me now. Watch. We saw that this widow is visited, and in that widow's life that we saw there in 1 Kings 17, if you go on to the 14th and the 16th verse, the barrel of meal that she had, it failed not. And not only that, but the cruse of oil didn't fail. And all of the devil's plans were averted. But when you get into the book of Luke, and you get into that fourth chapter, there's something interesting. As wonderful as that news was that that woman got, you're going to see something here that should catch your attention and open your eyes to a problem that ministers of the gospel continuously face. Luke 4, and we're into 24. And he, speaking of Jesus, said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the day of Elisha, when the heavens were shut up, and 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout the land, but unto none of these was Elias sent, save to Zarephath, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that is a widow." Now here's what I want to say to you. The Bible is just full of wonderful, wonderful things. But you have to understand that the traditions in the church have taken certain things and put them out of focus. And people don't grasp exactly what's being said. Because here we're talking about how wonderful it was that Elijah settled this famine that was going on. But we hear now that there was only one woman. Only one woman who was ministered to in that day. Only one woman. I think we have to get much closer to this and understand better what has taken place. And when you get there in 1 Kings 17 again, please, with me, it has just struck me as such great truth. And when you come here, let's look at it a little more closely. 17, in this 8th verse, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath, And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a handful of bread. And she said, that the Lord thy God liveth. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my sons. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, and go and do as thou hast, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me after making for thee. Here's what people leave out. They want to bring in all the deliverance that comes, and they're preaching deliverance and preaching deliverance, but they leave some things out. In this place of deliverance, all the widows in the world, in that famine, only one received release. Now, I'm sure there were preachers everywhere talking about God is able to stop famine. God is able to stop droughts. God. But what is left out is that there was some giving done. There was some giving done. Do you follow? All these widows everywhere. It looked. See, what I'm trying to bring you is all of these beautiful things in the Bible, we've come to where we just preach them as they're just available out there like pebbles on the side of the road. But there are some conditions that go along with these blessings that come into people's lives. And we have to be careful in the context, because if we don't get the full context, we will come forth and just show God there's a famine. Here comes the prophet, and he cures it. There's no more famine. There's barrel doesn't fail, all those things. And we think, how wonderful, I'll go do it. But you better notice that only one person in the world at that famine, this God brought deliverance to. Only one widow. What was the difference? What made this unique? She had a little cake. Now, the water, watch this. He asked for water. What's the most valuable thing in a drought? The most valuable thing she handed to the prophet. But watch this, please. Because God is not impressed with valuable things. God has water. All the water on the planet belongs to God. But then you look down and you see a little cake. Now, can you imagine a dying family, the boys dying, starvation? How pitiful that little cake must have been. Fingernails, black under the fingernails. Death is imminent in the house. Tomorrow the boy's going to die. Are you getting the picture? And now there is this little cake. You know, I've had people bring me things that I gladly received and carefully took and put in the garbage can and washed my hands. You follow what I'm saying? I mean, here's the difference. That little cake was precious to the lady. Do you follow what I'm saying to you? It wasn't valuable that touches God. It's when you can bring a person to the giving of something precious. What's more precious than a dying boy's last meal? But do you see what I'm saying? Preachers just preached right through the famine, how good it was going to be. The barrel of meal is not going to waste, blah, 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 blah. You know that the preachers and the prophets were everywhere trying to bring comfort. But only one place did deliverance come. Because when you don't have the whole story, you don't have God on board. You can tell things from the Bible, but if you don't tell the whole story, you don't have God on board. But you have to understand that this woman went beyond the valuable, because God has water. The man just took the water, the most valuable thing in the nation, drank it, and then he notices a little cake, just a little cake. Now, I want you to get the picture of this. The death angel is hanging over this house. You know that sanitation is at an all-time low. You know that if that little cake, she's been saving it back, it must have been a very meager thing. But for her dying son, she made this cake, and there was a new dimension of value. It now had a value to her as precious. You follow what I'm saying? Now, valuable is a cut below precious. And when you give offerings, many times, if a person gives one penny in the offering, they did something valuable. But if someone takes a certain level of their finances and they give to a certain point, there's a point where they go past the valuable and becomes precious. And every time precious moves, oh, there it is, the hand of God moves. So be very careful, because you got good news. Your feet are beautiful. Everybody's glad to hear the good news you've got. But if you don't bring them the qualifications of how to have that good news, you will just sit there rejoicing until finally everything is lost. You understand what I'm saying? You know the people that teach the poverty doctrine. What do they do when a family loses their job? I mean, well, you know, that's just God's will. You know, God's putting you to the test. And then one of the children becomes ill. They can't go to the hospital. Well, it's God's test. There's a testing going on. Listen, that's what ends up if you don't teach and don't know how to understand the implication of finances in relation to the blessings of God. You can't just wait for someone else to come along and teach finances just because people get upset. Because don't you know that woman would have been upset if the prophet would have just said, well, golly, we're just going to believe that boy is going to be okay. And the boy dies, and then they have the funeral. Somebody, maybe God was picking flowers for his garden or whatever they would tell him. But if you have the facts are that something precious moved. And when the precious moves, God moves. Never fails. When the precious moves, God moves. But please know this. People do not have the instinct to give to God. Where was the coin? Where was the coin that Peter was sent for? In the fish's mouth? You read it when you get a chance. It says, and when thou hast opened his mouth. The fish don't spit the coins up. You have to open their mouth. You follow what I'm saying? And most people become afraid to talk about money. I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not going to talk about money. And what happens is you got the beautiful stories, but you never have the right kind of an ending. Because they don't have the facts together. Are you picking up what I'm saying to you? You understand that? That's an amazing piece of truth. The money is in the fish's mouth, and when you have opened his mouth, if you don't spend some time teaching people how to open their wallet, and you say, well, I'm afraid I'm going to run someone away. Well, it's good for some people to go. I mean, you're going to be better off with 5 people that tithe than with 100 people that rob God. Do you understand? And you say, well, where did they learn that? No, they come that way. The devil has enough information out there. He's putting out about the tithe and all those things. He has got everybody against the money message. You're going to have to take and deal with it, because watch this. If you don't deal with the finances, will come back and deal with you. This church that you're in here, COP, this is a explosive operation. One of the things that's made it 10 times more explosive is it's debt-free. Debt-free. Radio station, $1.6 million, debt-free. Buildings, debt-free. But it did not come because some rich person joined. It did not come because the Summerall family are lucky people, lucky people. Luck is a occult word, has nothing to do with the gospel. It's line upon line, precept upon precept. And when we were being laughed at and called fools, and people were leaving the church angry because when Brother John came, we talked about money, and then it started being throughout the whole church. You know this, Joe, is true. And there were some bailing out. But today, these buildings aren't prayed for, they're paid for. The vehicles aren't prayed for, they're paid for. The radio station is not prayed for, it's paid for. And so then in the beginning, here's something. People do not like to pay for what has happened. They want to pay for what's going to happen. Do you understand? So you're going to have to deal with finances and see to it that as quickly as possible, if you have to take a mortgage, that you get it paid off and out, because people do not want to pay for what has happened, but they will pay for what's going to happen. Do you follow? But now let's look a little bit further. Maybe that's just one point there that a little bit different. But think about Elijah, you know, in breaking the drought. Let's go back over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. And we're in the 18th chapter. The prophets of Baal, they've been cutting themselves, and this big thing's going on. And then here comes Elijah, and he gives this instruction. It says, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up and eat and drink, for there is a sound of the abundance of rain. And you remember they went up, there was a cloud the size of a fist. Then it covered the ground. All this was taking place. But here's something people don't pick up. Whenever you get in that 31st verse, when it's Elijah's turn to now take over the worship service and now to make the altar, And Elisha took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, and unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar, a great that would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullocks in pieces and laid him on the wood full of the barrels of water. And he poured it on the burnt sacrifice. And he said, 34th verse, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trenches with water. What have you got here? Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. We're trying to get rid of a famine. We're trying to get rid of a time when we've had drought. He brings water. He pours water. He makes a water sacrifice. He begins to pour out. See, what you need is what you need to sow a seed. Are you picking that up? He didn't just go out there and just have, oh, come on, we're going out. I'm here now, and hocus pocus, we're going to have the rain start. No, he took 3 times and filled the trench with water, and he put in all that seed. I have a feeling it was about the amount of seed that city would be sowing if there happened to be a rain. And they put the water, and now in the prayer is not just a dry prayer going up to God, but there is giving of the most precious thing in the nation. Barrels of water are being poured on the ground, barrel after barrel. And they say, are you crazy? This is not a time to pour your barrels of water out. This is the time to store your water. Hang on tight. There's a drought in the land. No, sir, bring the water. We're going to have to ask God for rain. We need to make an offering to God, and we need to sow what we want to reap. Do you follow? Did you ever see that before? I mean, how many times did the prophets of Baal win the situation just because of the political advantage they had? But now a man of God comes that understands seed time and harvest. He understands sowing and reaping. And this wonderful thing we enjoyed, that was great what happened. But why did it happen? Because there was some sowing that took place. Some giving took place. You have to be very careful, because almost nothing moves out of heaven if something isn't given. You'll see it as we go through this. Here we have this great thing Elijah did. What is there? No one ever mentions it. I've been preaching for years. No one ever mentioned to me, here's the water being sown, but it's right there, water being sown so that they can have a harvest of a rain. You picking that up? You have to find out, whatever you're dealing with, where is the seed that will bring it? What is the seed that will bring the result that we need? Billy Joe Daugherty in Oklahoma passed away now. He started the big new church building. He had several $1 million in the building fund. He took that money and gave it to churches across Oklahoma. Just gave it away, and they started the building with not 1 cent in the bank of the earth, but they had deposited $2 million in the bank of God, and he finished the building debt free. Are you catching that? Be careful that you don't just become one that just brings the stories of the good things, and you know, well, God will provide, well, and if he doesn't, well, this is that, and have all your excuses together. And by the way, well, you know, maybe next month you'll get this miracle. Did you know most of the miracles in the Bible happened in a second? There's hardly a slow miracle in the Bible. The reason they're slowed down is because of preachers. Because we make these prophecies and then we say, oh, maybe a few days. Give me time to get out of town. You know what I'm saying? Coming in evangelist. Oh, yeah, you'll be healed, honey. Just keep believing, keep believing, keep believing. Yeah. Are you picking up what I'm saying? You got to understand, where is the connection with the offering plate and the event that we want to have take place? The offering plates do not need to be, unless you make them that way, something that people are scared of. See, I raised 5 kids out of the offering plates at my church. That's how I did it. You say, oh, Brother John, well, did you have investments? Yes, I did. I had investments in those offering plates. I saw to it that my giving was proper. I saw to it that I had an open heaven. I saw to it that we sowed. I saw to it that whenever there was missionary work, we sent the missionaries. And can you imagine hundreds of thousands of dollars, 50 years ago that I put in the Philippines, and now look, a big part of my life's in the Philippines. Are you grasping what I'm saying? Why are you not over in Russia? Well, we didn't put any money in Russia. Why are you not in China? Well, we didn't put any money in China. What are you doing in the Philippines? We'll put a lot of money in the Philippines. If you can't get the sowing aspect in with the divine miracle wonders of God. Now, pastors, don't wait till your church is bigger to do this, because the bigger it gets, the harder it'll be to start. But they need to understand that we are tithers. We are people of an open heaven. Are you familiar with the word portals? Portals. People are looking for portals everywhere. In the Himalayas, there are people everywhere looking for, they call them thin places or portals, where heaven is open. Listen, that offering plate is a portal. You can turn your whole church into a portal. Are you grasping this? Now watch how much of a portal your church is, really. I mean, it's a very unique place. People say, oh, remember when the fourth man was in the fire? Oh, hey, you remember when this happened? You remember when the ladder came down? Hey, the Bible says when three or more of you are gathered together, there am I in your midst. Now listen to what you just heard. Jesus is in each one of you. But when we come together in his name, another dimension is added. He has been walking through this room among these tables. He is in our midst. A portal has been developed here. If you step out that door, it won't be the same feeling that there is just inside that door, because something spiritual has happened. Heaven has opened. Now, we're so used to it that it's commonplace with it, we don't even recognize it. And then on top of that, this is a gathering. How many people are here, Joey? 5,000, 6,000, how many? Over 200? Okay, that's 400 eyes. There were 400 eyes looking at me. 200. But watch the other dimension that you've given to the portal, because every one of you is a portal. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. You can open the door into the heavenlies. You can be in this group and you're into the heavenlies as we come in the name of Jesus. Are you getting this? And that portal is open right now. There is a fourth man in the fire situation taking place right now. He's not just in you, he's among us. No matter what the count is in here, you'll have to add one, because he personally comes into the room when we come in his name. A very unique situation takes place. But watch, if you don't teach your people about finances, they will keep heaven closed, because a non-tithing church operates under a closed heaven. When the windows of heaven are closed, heaven is closed. Are you following that? That's why you pray for the sick and they don't get healed. That's why you go down and speak to the against the devil and they throw you out of the house. You understand what I'm saying to you? But go a little bit further. Maybe that's one case. Now, let's take a real good one. Psalms 118, 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. How many times do we say that? Have any of you ever used that verse to describe this is the day the Lord hath made? But watch, it's a financial verse. It's a financial verse. Watch what it says. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. David needed some money. He needed money. And he says, save now, I beseech thee. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed thee out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which hath shown us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. This is the day the Lord hath made. Lord, you're making this day. You can make me a miracle. Well, what about it, John? I'm ready to do it. Well, I've got my sacrifice tied to the horns of the altar. I've got my offering here. I'm ready for a miracle. Are you getting this? This is the day the Lord hath made. Just the skipping and jumping and little songs made about it. And it's just been a party. And nobody reads two more verses to find out that they got financial trouble. David needs money now. And how's he get it? He's going to make a sacrifice to God. And he knows, God, how much more time is there in this day before midnight? 13 hours? How many? Till midnight. How many? Huh? 15 hours. He said, look, we still got 15 hours, God. This is the day the Lord hath made. You can make me some money this day. You got 15. Are you getting this? But we bring these beautiful thoughts to people with no root system under them. They're just like lilies floating on the top of the water, lily pads. And if you step on them, you're gone. Did you pick that up? This is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What you got to rejoice about? You're out of money. No, but God has the rest of this day to make this thing happen. Are you catching this? But how many times do you preach that and you speak it and you just say it and your kids just running around singing it? It's a wonderful opportunity to say, glory to God. Did you know that's a giving verse? That's a financial verse. Oh, no, it's a rejoicing verse. No. There's nothing to rejoice about. They need money. Something's got to happen for the rejoicing to start. And we got to make an offering. Bind the sacrifice to the altar, horns of the altar. We're going to have a miracle because we're going to sow for a miracle. Woo! Are you getting this? But you have to be careful because millions of preachers are telling people today, this is the day the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. Be happy. I'm just rejoicing. This is the day. Aren't you happy God made the day? No, I'm not especially happy because the rent's due in the morning. No, I wasn't looking for this day. I don't like this day. But this day can be turned into a nice day. Lord, if you'll give me some money. Yeah. Okay, you're getting it. Amen. Now, let's look at that 2 Corinthians again. We're going to be back in the Living Bible. Now, we know the Corinthians had a great miracle. They came out of poverty with their giving. But watch something here now. When you get to the 4th verse, it says, I'll begin at the first again. Now, I want to tell you what God in His grace has done for the church in Macedonia. 2nd verse, though they've been going through much trouble, that's 8th chapter, 2nd verse. Though these Macedonians have been going through much trouble and hard times, they mix their wonderful joy with their deep poverty, and the result has been an overflow of giving to others. 3rd verse now, this is what you're not catching. They gave not only what they could afford. The first thing I hear in these offerings, now if everybody will just do what they can afford, if everybody will just do what you can afford, it'll fail. You follow? They went beyond that. Listen to it at 4th verse in the Living, 3rd verse. They gave not only what they could afford, but far more. I can testify they did it because they wanted to and not because of nagging on our part. You cannot raise money on the day you need it. You're going to have the truth of how money comes in your people so that when the day of need comes, that they can rise up and they can now act and bring finances in. You follow what I'm saying? They gave more than they can afford. Ignorant preachers. Some of you did it yourself. I've done it myself. Stand up there and say, now, if everybody will just give what they can afford, there'll be enough. God never intended for there to be enough. He always wants there to be more than enough. Exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think. Are you grasping this? Get that idea out of your mind that there's a shortage. There is no shortage. If all the money in Manila fell on this building, they would be 3 days digging us out from under it. I mean, there are trucks carrying money. There are banks on every corner. Try to find a petrol station. They're hard to find. Banks, there'd be 3 on a block. ATM machines everywhere. There's so much money out there, it's just pulsating. The walls are about to come down. But as a man thinketh, so is he. And if you think that there's a shortage, you will live in shortage. I lived in shortage for many years. Not because what changed? Well, I got to realizing that I didn't have to live in shortage, not because of cleverness, not because of some windfall that I got, but because of some truth information I got. You know what a breakthrough is? You know what a breakthrough is? You're going to want to write this down. Here's what a breakthrough is. It's a sudden burst of advanced knowledge that brings you past a former line of resistance. It's a sudden burst of advanced knowledge that'll carry you past a point of resistance. That resistance is there because that's as far back as you could push it. And it'll stack up and it'll destroy you when you hit those points where the devil stops you financially. But you have to press on. Get the advanced knowledge, get understanding like what I'm teaching you here, and then you have the breakthrough as you penetrate the opposition and you move to a whole new level. You grasp what I'm saying to you? And by the way, your people will not, you keep waiting for that rich person to join the church. I know what you're doing. I get the rich guy to join the church and we'll have all the money we need. I've had rich guys join. And at the end of the year, when I looked at the giving records, the waitress and the bricklayers, they gave more than the big rich couple that just came. You know why? Because I had trained them to give. The rich guys that'll give big is the ones that come to you little and you train them in finances, and when they get big, they won't forget you. They'll take you to the party with them. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You can't wait till the problem arises. You don't build a lifeboat after the sinking starts. You build a lifeboat ahead of time, and you're going to have to build into your people an understanding of biblical economics. Anybody getting this? Well, let's move a little bit further. Look at that fourth verse. They begged us to take the money. If your people are properly trained in giving, when an opportunity for prosperity comes, every time you open that offering plate, if you can get them to understand seed time and harvest, every time you pull out those offering plates, they will get to feeling good about it because opportunity for prosperity is now in front of them. They begged us to take the money so they could share in the joy of helping the Christians in Jerusalem. Now, the fifth verse. Best of all, they went beyond our highest hopes, for their first act was to dedicate themselves to the Lord. Now listen, and to us for whatever direction God might give them through us. Don't get to where you're afraid to say, how many pastors are here? Let me see your hands, pastors. Do you ever get this when all of a sudden you get in your heart that you know something's getting ready to happen? You finally just know it's going to happen? Just know it's going to happen. Well, when you get here in this situation, for instance, you might have somebody there's somebody over here. God's been talking to you about getting saved. If you come right now, you'll get saved. Boom, person comes. You're a man of God. You're a prophet. Oh, there's someone over here. What is it? You're sick. Hey, this is serious. That thing that you're feeling, come up here. We need you to get healed. They come right up. How many of you know this is a prophet when things start happening? But then what happens when you say there's somebody over here supposed to give $500? Oh, well, exactly what this says. Exactly what it says. Best of all, they went beyond our highest hopes. Their first action was to dedicate themselves to the Lord and to us for whatever direction God might give them through us. We have to teach people how to give. We have to be, don't go just holler out numbers, but if God puts a number in your spirit and you're in front of the people, you wouldn't hold the word back if God said, there's someone here today ready to be saved. You remember when Paul said, and he saw that the young man had faith to be healed? What if Paul would have just walked away? Well, people might think I'm just trying to build up braggadocious, or I'm just trying to build up a big record of healings with me. I'll just let him die. God will speak to you if you don't close your heart to it, and you'll start hearing things. And the people that are not being talked to, you've got to learn them, teach them to shut up. If you don't hear it, then it wasn't to you. But there's someone sitting out there that needed a confirmation. And now when the offering plates go through, you may never see it, but they'll write the amount that God said to write instead of the amount that the devil was writing. You follow that? Every word that you will speak doesn't have to be a word that fits everybody. There'll be individuals in the room that might need to hear, this is the time that you're to give $1,000. I know you don't have it, but you have to commit to it. You already know it. It's in your heart. See, now, wait a minute. If you're not looking for them, they won't be showing up. I'm looking for them. You move around me, you first thing you know, have an offering envelope in your hand. But anyway, are you picking up what I'm saying? But now watch how far this goes. He says, sixth verse, so we have urged Titus, who encouraged you giving in the first place, to return to you and encourage you to finish this ministry. He said, we're bringing in a teacher, Titus. We're having him in, and he's going to be teaching finances. Well, we're going to bring a healing minister in. Why? Because we want to see people healed. Well, we're going to bring a salvation evangelist. Why? We want to see people saved. Well, if the finances are going all to pieces, have somebody in that understands finances and have them come in and just talk to your people about money. Well, Brother John, what if somebody quits? Well, if you don't get some money, pretty soon they won't have to quit. The owner of the building will close the door. You need people that are in tune with your vision and they're financially in tune with your vision. Are you getting it? Well, let's go just a little bit further. I had one here that I was really looking forward to. Let's go to Genesis 20 again. This is going to be unique. You're going to love this. You have something to preach now with this. This is a whole message all by itself. Remember Genesis 21, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. The Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in old age at the set time for which God had spoken to him. Now, isn't that beautiful? If God says something, you can believe it's going to happen. But now watch. Will it happen, or does something else have to happen? Look at the chapter before, the 17th verse. So Abraham, he's in Abimelech's palace. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. For the Lord had fastly closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. Ephesians 6:8, whatever good thing you cause to happen for anybody else, God will cause that same thing to happen for you. Sarah's womb didn't open until Abraham ministered to Abimelech's house and saw the wombs open at Abimelech's house, and then Sarah's womb opened up. You've got to have the whole story. That's why people think we have a fairy tale. Oh, we're going to pray. We're just going to pray. Listen, Abraham brought the miracle of the opened womb to Abimelech's house. And in the next chapter, after all those years, now, boom, her womb opened. Ephesians 6:8, whatever good thing you cause to happen for anybody else, God will cause the same thing to happen for you. If you need money, sow some money. If you need members, help another church get some members. You follow what I'm saying? No, if somebody's moving, if someone's moving out of your part of town, hook them up with the church in the new part of town they're moving to. Don't try to talk them into driving through all the traffic. Sow that member if they're going that way anyway. And then God will bring you more members. If you don't get sowing and reaping into your mind, if you don't get Ephesians 6:8 into your mind, and if you don't get it into your mind that God only works under an open heaven, and that the tithe is the hinges that the heavens open and close over your church. If you've only got 15% tithers, you've only got a 15% open heaven. Are you understanding what I'm saying to you? Isn't this amazing? This just comes together like that. Well, you remember how he said everything about God, how he loves and he's long-suffering and compassionate. Remember those verses we read? Well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave. No one could walk in those places with God before God gave his only begotten son. And when he gave his only begotten son, he then removed the thing that kept people from being able to come to him, because now their sins were forgiven and they could come fellowship with him. Are you grasping what I'm saying to you? If you don't deal with the money issue, it will deal with you. It will deal with you when it comes to where you live. It will deal with you when it comes to what you drive. It will deal with you to where your children are educated. It will deal with you whether you can retire at retirement age or if you're going to have to be out at the funeral parlors letting them know that you'll do funerals to try to have enough money together to live. I'm telling you, it's coming like an armed bandit. That's what the Bible says. Poverty comes like an armed bandit. It's moving on you to push you out and end you up in poverty. But you don't have to end up in poverty if you will focus on finances. Because how many miracles did we talk about? Everything that you do, I talked about it just now. Love of God, all the different things. This is what your business is all along. But every one of those are locked up with some financial thing that looses them. Isn't that amazing?